Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a beautiful sunny morning, isn't it? God is good. I have a few intimations to share with you. Most of them are printed on the order of service. The Guild meet tomorrow evening, and their speaker will be Dorothy Wiseman, and that's at 7 o'clock in the small hall. Harvest Thanksgiving next Sunday, so don't forget that. As I said last week, we're doing sort of two parallel things, that we'll be accepting any donations of foodstuffs, and they will go to the Salvation Army in Glasgow. Or if you wish to give some money, that will go to Embrace the Middle East for their Growing for Futures campaign, mainly focusing on people in Egypt. Our church shop has completed its first week and continues until Wednesday, and it runs from 10 till 1 each day. They have so far made, I'm glad you're all sitting down, £1,330. Enormous thanks to the wonderful team of ladies who help, and everybody who helps, donating stuff, buying stuff, popping in for a cup of tea. Everybody's contributed to that. It's absolutely fantastic. Thank you. And remember that the best bargains are to be had tomorrow morning. I think all the other intimations are as printed. We are now advertising for a new church officer to replace David, who will retire at the end of December. And I've been amazed to put it on Facebook, and we've had, I think it's now over 2,000 looks at it. Whereas I'm still waiting for the Carluke and Lanark Gazette to phone me back to get an advert in it. And that's been since Tuesday. Anyway, I shouldn't get political, should I? I've also got a lovely postcard, which I realise I'm holding upside down, to the friends of St. Paul's Church. Pictured is the lovely Norwegian church in Cardiff Bay. Visited Cardiff Castle with a guided tour around the castle house. Brecon Beacons Mountain Steam Railway trip and a visit to the lovely seaside town of Tenby. And that's from David and his wife. David Hope and his wife. I can't read the writing, I'm afraid. It's Evelyn. Amelia. So a lovely postcard there. So it might not be summer anymore, but we're still getting postcards. You know that I've mentioned several times that with the Church of Scotland's radical plan, there was proposed a season of prayer from September to December of this year, and I said I would be supporting it fully. Well, I've been waiting for materials to be produced, and there has been a couple of prayers. But eventually, through conversation with other ministers, we realised that actually part of the radical plan is for the church to say, don't wait for us to do it, get on and do it yourself. So with a bit of help from another minister or two, I have put together a prayer booklet, which I would invite you all to take a copy. Thanks to Margaret for printing it and collating it this morning, a bit of a rush. It starts with a little bit about the radical plan, and then there's a prayer guide with a different theme for every day of the week. So I would invite you all to use this, because if ever there was a time for prayer, and I think there always is a time for prayer, but more than ever at the moment. So I look forward to giving those out. We are here to worship God. Does that send a tingle down your spine? Because it does mine. God is love, and we are all his beloved children. We can only love one another because God first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out fear. And to borrow the words of Vincent Pizzuto again, and God sees every one of us as gorgeous. Let's do our responsive reading of our psalm for today, which is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over you will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. That was my dad's favorite psalm, and it is certainly one of my favorites. And although I encourage the use of the modern version of the Bible, "I to the hills will lift mine eyes" is what comes to my head. So let's sing those words in Psalm 81. I'm delighted to see as many of you in church today as there are, because I expected a very small number. The children are still on holiday, so we have no jigsaw today, and a number of people are away on a trip to Dunoon. So I know there's one or two significant people missing from our church, but it's lovely that we have as many as we have, and especially lovely to welcome a visitor all the way from Bangor. So a very warm welcome to a very new granny. When we don't have the children in, I'm in the habit of using a story from this wonderful book of wisdom stories by Margaret Silf. And this one seemed to fit for me with our theme today, which is persistence. It's called A Letter with a Difference. There was once a mother who had two daughters. She loved her daughters dearly, but from their earliest years, the two girls would quarrel and fight with each other. As they grew older, their enmity hardened, and they became totally estranged from each other. As adults, they would have no contact with each other, They grew completely apart. As you can imagine, this caused the mother great pain. She agonized about how she might possibly bring them back together again. And then she had an idea. She got out her pen and she wrote a letter to them both. In this letter, she told them over and over again how very much she loved them both and how she longed for them to love each other in the way that she loved each of them. She told them how much it grieved her that they were separated, and she gave them news of herself and some guidance on how they might live happier and more loving lives themselves. When the letter was ready, she wrote out one copy for each daughter. But these copies were special. One copy contained only every second sentence of the original letter. So the copy for one daughter had only the even sentences, and the other daughter's copy contained only the odd sentences. Neither copy made sense on its own. Neither contained the fullness of the mother's message. When the two daughters received their letters, they were puzzled until it dawned on them what had happened. Then they faced a dilemma. If they really wanted to know what their loving mother had written, they would have to put their two letters together and read them as one. And that meant they would have to approach one another again in mutual love and respect. For a long time, the mother waited in vain for an answer to her letter. There were questions from both the daughters. There were complicated efforts on both their parts to make sense of the half letter each of them possessed. There were recriminations. Each daughter thought she knew her mother better than her sister ever could. Each daughter believed that her mother loved her more than she could possibly love her other daughter. Then one day, when the mother had almost given up hope, there was a knock at the door. There they stood, together. "We've come home," they said in unison. "We've finally put our letters together, and we've come to say how much we love you, Mum." And she flung her arms around both of them, tears of joy streaming across her cheeks and welcoming them back home. Let's pray. Loving, living God, we thank you for stories which can tell us some very deep truths. Lord, we thank you that, like that mother, you long for each and every one of us to know how much you love us and not to compare ourselves with others. That, like that mother, you take the first step. You write the letter, the Bible, to us to teach us about your love. And yet, like that mother, you know that we need to work together to understand the words of your Bible. And we need to come together with love and respect for each other in order to read the Bible together. So, Lord, we thank you so much for stories. And we ask that any one of us who has some relationship, some situation in our lives, which we think can never be resolved, let's remember that story and find a different way to approach it. And then persistently keep trying for a reconciliation. And now let us join our voices together as we say the Lord's Prayer together, using whatever words are familiar to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God speaks in many different ways, as are described some of them in our next hymn, hymn 606. Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders. Hymn 606. And before we come to our Bible readings, let us come before God in excuse me, in prayer. I'm using prayers today from one of the Wild Goose Iona resource books. Let us pray. Eternal God, you do not need our praise. The world itself tells of your glory. Sunrise and birdsong, the ruggedness of landscape, the randomness of rain, beauty for the eye, nourishment for the body, music for the soul. These all speak of your goodness. These honor your name. You do not need our praise. Other places can do it better. With finer music or fewer words, with centuries of tradition or buildings of rare beauty. Other people can do it better, where two or three are gathered, who live in poverty or under threat, and who, despite all that oppresses them, rejoice to be called your own. What can we add by way of magnificence or testimony when these are more eloquent? You do not need our praise, but we need to praise you. It is the yearning, the restlessness which you have planted in us. It is our desire for a true home and unconditional acceptance that brings us here. All the rumors we have heard about you are true. You love, you forgive, you transform, and you know us. Oh, how you know us. You perceive what in us needs to be loved, what in us needs to be forgiven, and what in us needs to be changed. We need no more words, just penitence. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. These are the words of Jesus. They are strong and true, so believe them. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life in all its fullness. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Come, each one, and follow me." Now, O God, help us to live as a forgiven people, visibly different, gloriously free, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Erin is now going to come and do our Bible reading for us this morning. The first reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, and running through to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. And then the gospel reading is Luke 18, the first 8 verses.
But as for you, in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those for whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Through faith in Jesus Christ, all scriptures in God's breath, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, continuing, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge living and the dead in view of the appearing and his kingdom. I give you the charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and in out season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions, for this time will come with people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather round them a great number of teachers to say that their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situation, endure hardship, do the work of in guard list, discharge all duties of the ministry. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some people he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because the widow kept bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what unjust judge said, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cried out to him day and night, will he keep putting them off? I will tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
Thank you, Erin. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon is number 600, Spirit of God. Hymn 600. Let's pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Persistence in prayer. I wonder what first comes into our minds when we think of the word persistence. Well, I'll confess that what came into my mind first was that so many folk just now have persistent coughs. Anyway, persistence, according to the dictionary, means The fact of continuing in an opinion or course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. And Luke tells us that Jesus told his disciples, the parable of the persistent widow that Erin read for us, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So on this occasion, we don't need to search for the meaning of the parable. Instead, we can enjoy the exaggeration within it. The unjust judge admits twice that he neither feared God nor cared what people thought. It's Jesus who described this character as unjust. And I'm sure that if I were ever in a court of law, I would hope that the judge was not so arrogant as this one. Yet despite his attitude, the judge eventually gave in to the widow's request. Not because he suddenly changed his attitude and cared more about people, but so that she won't eventually come and attack me. In the original Greek, what the judge says is this: because this widow causes trouble for me, I will give her justice so that she may not, in the end, give me a black eye by her coming. The Greek verb, hypopiazo, to give a black eye, brings the image of a boxing ring. Our translations sadly lose the humor that Luke infuses into this scene. He probably means us to laugh at this topsy-turvy picture of a lowly widow pummeling an arrogant, self-important, uncaring judge. Like our political cartoons today, Jesus' parable encourages us to laugh at those who wield their power unethically. And there's plenty of examples around today. I chose just one. And our laughter is not simply just for fun, for a bit of light relief. Rather, it's in order to challenge such figures and ultimately to offer a different way. And sometimes cartoons really make us think, perhaps make us think more than reading a long and fairly boring article. So this parable about the widow pummeling the judge has a serious point, although it's funny. It contrasts the unjust judge with God. I think we can leave Boris behind. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice. And quickly. If even such a scoundrel as that unjust judge eventually gave the widow the justice she pleaded for, how much more so does God answer our pleas, our prayers for justice? Yet sometimes we can be tempted to give up praying, maybe because we don't see instant results. Maybe we see people apparently benefiting greatly from ignoring justice and denying God, from not caring about anyone else. Maybe we are ridiculed by our family and friends for praying, for coming to church, for our faith. That's when we need persistence. And persistence is very much what Paul is advising Timothy. In our other reading, he writes, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." Our church, the Church of Scotland, is not in a good state. The Radical Action Plan revealed at this year's Assembly calls for a 20 to 30% reduction in spending which will inevitably mean job losses at headquarters at 121 George Street. Do I hear folk cheering about that? At presbytery level, it'll mean an amalgamation of 42 presbyteries into only about 12. Still cheering? And at a local level, it will mean a move away from maintaining what and how we have always done things to mission, to reaching out more in love and humility to those who have, up until now, thought that the church and its message was irrelevant to their lives. If ever there was a time when we needed persistent prayer, it is now. So please take one of these wee booklets. And what I didn't say is, as well as ideas for prayer and quotations, at the back, there's sections for you to write in what you hear God say when you spend time in prayer. And when you've finished with your book, please hand it back in. I haven't got a box organized yet, but I will do. Or give it to either Margaret, our session clerk, or myself. And then we as a church can together be listening for what God is saying to us. And as well as that, now is the time for us to work harder at teaching our children and our grandchildren about Jesus. Because listen to what Paul wrote. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So instead of bemoaning the lack of Christian biblical teaching in our schools, let's do something about it ourselves. Here in Forth, we are very fortunate in having an excellent team who lead our Jigsaw, and other teams leading Planet Earth Club, Rainforest Cafe, and Mainly Music. It was pointed out at the meeting I attended in Carluke just over a week ago that in every week there are 168 hours. We spend around 49 of them asleep, and probably those of us who are in church today are fairly well involved, so we might well spend up to 9 hours in church-related activities. But that leaves 110 hours a week. Who do we meet, talk to, walk alongside during those 110 hours? Who can we influence in a positive way during those 110 hours? And it was also pointed out at that meeting that the time for waiting for someone else or some organization to make changes has passed. It's now time for each and every one of us to step up and do what we can. I spoke to someone who goes to another church but comes regularly to a meeting here on Saturday morning. And she told us that she decided to teach her grandchildren about the shoebox appeal this year. She said she spent the most wonderful day with them. She explained to them, first of all, what it was all about, and then they went shopping together. And she let the grandchildren choose what soaps, what toothbrush, what toy, and so on they wanted to put in their boxes. And then when they got home, they packed their boxes themselves, and they thought about the child who would receive it. They were astounded when Gran tried to explain that that might be the only present that that child would receive. Her grandchildren couldn't believe it. So there's lots of ways that we can be teaching, passing on to our younger generations what we believe. And Paul also reminds us that all scripture is God-breathed, God's breath, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Sorry, I think we've missed a slide. Thanks. As I read this, I can't help but be reminded of the way that God breathes in the Bible and how that breath is always creative, giving life and faith. Think of Genesis 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Or again of John 20 and verse 22. When Jesus had said this, he breathed into them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Based on these and other verses, I take theopneustos, the Greek word translated as God breathed, to be a summary of the way in which God and God's breath, God's spirit, works. This is theology at work. All scripture is a means by which God can breathe life and faith and hope and love and forgiveness and resurrection into people. If our interpretation of scripture doesn't do that, we should question our interpretation. Let's be persistent. Let's make sure we are persistent in prayer for ourselves and our families, for opportunities to share our faith in practical, life-giving ways. Let's make sure we are persistent in prayer for our church and our community, for our country, and for God's world. And remember, God is not an unjust judge. He's quite the opposite, and he sees every one of us as gorgeous. Amen. Let's continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, everything that we have and everything that we are, everything that we see, everything that we experience, everything is a gift from you. So, Lord, we thank you. And it is with grateful hearts that we come here today to praise you. And we ask that you will accept our praise, accept our prayers, and accept these our offerings, and use them all along with our everyday lives, those 110 hours, for the growth of your kingdom, here in Forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. A service which focuses on persistence in prayer wouldn't be right if we didn't include that wonderful hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Let's sing hymn 547 now. So as we take everything to God in prayer, the prayer I'm using has a response that if you would like to, I would invite you, when I say, "Lord, hear us," if you respond, "Lord, graciously hear us," in between each section of the prayer. Let us pray. For the healing of bodies, we pray. For a holy healing, which deals with both pain and its causes. For healing which leads to a new love for the body, a new care for the body, and also where mortal life wearies for the end, for the healing of death. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For the healing of minds, we pray, for a holy healing, which deals with memories as well as madness, abuse as well as anxiety, depression as well as dementia, stigma as well as the suffering of a tortured mind, and also where people have been hurt by religion, for the healing of faith. Lord, hear us. Graciously hear us. For the healing of relationships, we pray. For a holy healing, which will not make things nice, but will make things possible. For the mending of love, which has been fractured. For the cherishing of those whose true sexuality has been deemed aberrant, and for the holding in brokenness of those for whom love has been undermined by deceit. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For the healing of our world, we pray. For a holy healing. For the tearing down of cruel barriers and the building of bridges for peace. For the ending of needless exploitation and the growth of reverence for our planet. For replacing what the wealthy want with an abundance of what the world needs. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. So we pray, so we trust, so we will do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness, shine in your church gathered today. Hymn 543. It's 12 noon. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So now, as we go out into the week ahead, let's persistently pray, knowing that the God we pray to is not an unjust judge, but a God who loves us and sees us all as gorgeous. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all today and forevermore.